You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson. AfterBuzz TV.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone loves it.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And I'm not going to sing.
You got to do the remix, Jason.
I'm not gonna do the O's because Julie was like horrified last week.
I always gotta cut it off. Jason's area is just like not where we should go. No, you did it again every week.
Bing is for doing. How you guys doing? Jason J. Carter here. Welcome to a supersized edition of the Grey's Anatomy After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. I'm Julie Parton,
and I'm Kelly,
and I'm Ashita Andre,
and I am so just elated, excited. I can die a happy man. We have one of the most amazing actresses to ever grace the face of the big screen and the small screen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. April Kepner herself, Miss Sarah Drew. Hello.
Hi. Oh, no, I hear applause.
Yeah.
What's in my head?
How are you doing tonight?
Great. I'm great.
So glad to have you here, Sarah. Such an honor. We are diehard fans of Grey's Anatomy, and we've seen Dr. Kepner go from quirky, kind of weird,
annoying.
You can say it. To such a beauty queen, amazing attending doctor, trauma surgeon, and every last week after the wedding episode, I was like, wow, Kepner is hot this week. And then after, you know, we'll talk about it later, but yes, we're fans. We're glad you're here.
Thanks Welcome for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
And she was able to watch the episode with us and live tweeted.
Yes.
Yeah, so much fun. Like our chat roll's going crazy right now with everybody wanting to talk to you. The phone lines are nuts. So guys, you know, we're probably going to get more calls than we normally do, but definitely try to call. The number again is 424-256-1729. And you can chat on AfterBuzzTV.com with our chat roll, and they're going to be tweeting me your questions so we can make sure to get them answered if we can't answer the phone.
Boom. There you go.
Boom. That's a new word.
Boom. Grey's Anatomy, Season 9, Episode 13, Bad Blood. And tonight was, like I always say, a return to form for Grey's Anatomy. Season after season, we're always enthralled and moved by the music, the emotion, the drama, the brilliant storylines, and the brilliant writing. And tonight, I was glad to see that was back. You know, Shonda Rhimes always says there's an ebb and flow of the show, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see certain characters on the show, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get that Grey's Anatomy, like, oh, I'm so young. And sometimes you don't. And tonight, it gave us everything. It gave us emotion. It gave us suspense, warm, fuzzy, happy feelings that we like to have. And also that shocking, like, oh, no, she didn't.
Yes.
Oh, no, she didn't. So getting into it, the hospital and the surgeons. You know, tonight's storyline was harkening back to the Mercy West invasion episode where we first saw you.
Yes.
Episode 5 of season 6, we first saw the Mercy Westers coming in their orange.
And, oh, that was hideous.
Yeah, hideous, driving me insane. But people were fearing for their jobs. People didn't know the future of the hospital. And tonight we got to see a glimpse into how some of the veteran surgeons, the older attending surgeons, were feeling about that when they had to do a challenge with one of the efficiency coordinators.
I personally loved that because I felt like it made them compete against each other like the interns used to have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially Bailey.
Bailey.
Right.
She is fierce.
She was cracking me up. She was like teacher's pet. It was really funny to see that side of her.
You know, and Weber called her out. Like, when did you become a world-class
actress?
competitive great. To boot.
Right. Yeah. You know, I love their relationship because even though they're able to you know, chalk it up and kind of have a banter, they're so devoted to each other. They have each other's back, and it's always been a really good relationship. I've loved seeing on Grey's.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't the only change. They now had cameras in every room,
mm-hmm.
yes. and there was doctors watching through the cameras.
Dr. Bob.
To help
Dr.
communicate
Bob.
And Dr. keep Bob. An eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christina was having quite a bit of conversations with the doctor in the sky.
Yes, it was like the Wizard of Oz.
I know.
or a bad episode totally of Big was. Brother. With all the hot, cute people.
Definitely
you know?
Big Brother.
Yeah. And then they totally redid the structure of the OR. They laid it out completely new.
Yes.
Yeah, and there was... And you know what? My mother is a medical professional and works with surgeons, and that's a no-no. You don't. They have certain things they're used to seeing, used to having, used to being able to get to in a timely manner. You don't mess with people's stuff.
Right, in case of an emergency,
exactly.
They know where to go.
And so it's almost like I feel surgeons are a little OCD when it comes to things. Mm-hmm. They have to have so many nap pads, so many whatever.
Right.
Seriously. So that you saw tonight, it made kind of a rift with some people. And then the interns, of course, are fearing for their positions mm-hmm. because they're interns. And they're disposable.
Basically, the attendees are mad, the interns are scared, and everybody except Kepner and McDreamy decide to like take it into their own hands and figure this one out. They are mm-hmm. going to solve the budget crisis.
Sarah, mm-hmm. when you read the scripts for the shows, especially your character, how, what goes through your mind?
I get really, really excited for table reads. In fact, anytime Tony Phelan is on set, I'm just like, what's happening next?
Yeah.
I want to know what's happening next. Just tell me. Because I get really, really excited about where the different stories are going to go. But it was so fun because I literally haven't worked with Patrick Dempsey since like season six.
In love
the
with
shooting?
Him.
Yeah, well.
The shooting? You got him shot?
Yes. Yeah, well, okay, thank you. Yes, April did a lot of failing. Like a massive
she failed
fail.
Up, though. She failed up.
She did. But they sort of like brought me back season seven and kind of like pretended that my crush never existed because
right.
I think the fans wanted to kill me, actually.
Yeah.
Assassinate me completely.
They're
yeah.
like, of all the people to get shot in the head, why wasn't she one of them?
I know. Oh my gosh.
When you were on that balcony, though, I didn't want you to get shot.
That was brilliant. I'll tell you what, after that part where April talked about her family and gave details, I went and did a bunch of research.
Right.
Really?
About
what to do.
Of what to do in that kind of a situation. Yeah, and I love that she had that moment with Christina afterwards. She's like, I saw an Oprah once.
I know.
that you just, you make them see that you're a human.
It was totally real, though. It worked for her.
Yeah, it was so crazy. That was a really intense episode. I think that was probably the hardest episode that I've ever had to shoot on the show.
Oh, really?
It's really intense. Yeah.
Watching you in that episode. I mind you, I've watched season six repeatedly in the last 48 hours. Because I'm obsessed. Was it hard to when you were shooting that scene? Was it hard to draw on emotions? I mean, you're a brilliant actress, but
you.
Did you have to really? What was going through your head? How were you able to get through that? Because watching it was intense.
I mean, it was really just trying to put myself in the shoes of someone who is in the most terrifying situation of their entire life. And I am lucky enough in my life to really have not dealt with a lot of fear in that kind of way. So it was totally alien to me. But so exciting to get to play and kind of dive into. And I mean, it was weird. I was having nightmares and not sleeping the shooting of those two episodes. Like, it really kind of messed with me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when I watched Dexter.
Yes. Yeah, it was really intense. It was really, really intense. And I did a lot of crying. I mean, I would go home, be so emotionally drained from it that I would just like weep all over my husband. He's like, it's a great job, honey. It's a great job.
It is. It was great television.
So your husband's, he's like lose-lose. If April's getting shot up at work, you're crying at home.
So
if April's getting it on
I know!
At work, then he's not happy then either.
Poor guy. What he has to live with.
Well, we have a Twitter question, you know, kind of in lines with that. How were you approached to play this character, Dr. Kepner?
So I had done, I guess the year before, I had done a guest spot on Private Practice. Mm-hmm. And that's how I met Shonda. It's the first time I'd worked with Shonda. And then she cast me in her pilot. That next season, which was called Inside the Box, and it didn't go to mm-hmm. series. But we worked closely together during that time, and then she actually wrote this role for me for Grey. so I didn't audition for it, but I was supposed to only go on for 2 episodes. I was brought on as a 2-episode guest star to get fired. Like, I knew that from the beginning. I knew that the other 3 were there for the long haul, but that I was just there for 2 episodes.
What?
So, I just...
Talk about fate.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. God. So I did it, and I did that firing episode, and I went on my way. I literally, like, shot that, and then I went and shot Mad Men, and then I went and shot Glee, and then, I mean, I, like, just went on with my life and whatever, and then I got a call the morning after the firing episode had aired, and they're like, so, we're talking about a series regular position.
Awesome. Awesome.
Like, how did you feel about that?
I really didn't have words.
How
I was
would
like,
you feel about that?
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you were a series regular on Mad Men at the time,
I was
though.
Not a series regular. Oh. No, I was just a guest star. I mean, I just did a recurring. I mean, I had done a couple episodes on Mad Men, but... I mean, that was the dream to get a series regular position, but then I had to go through all of season 6 sort of basically auditioning the whole time because there was nothing set in stone. It was like, so we'll try these few episodes and then see how they go, and then maybe these next, and then these next, and then by this date you'll know if you're on the track, and then by this date you'll know if you... It was like, oh
God. Torture.
So it was a year-long audition, pretty much.
we'll get more into that in just a minute. We have a caller.
Yes, okay.
People are so excited. I'm telling you, sir, people are like crazy about you. Yeah. Crazy. Caller, you're on the air with AfterBuzz TV. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I can't believe this. Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Carlin Cumigan from Twitter.
Hey, Carlin.
I think I saw you. Were you the one that was tweeting a countdown?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was Carlin for sure.
Awesome.
I'm glad you got through.
What's your question?
I was wondering, what's going to happen to April's job now that the emergency bay is closed?
Because you are a trauma surgeon.
That is a great question. What is a trauma attending to do without an ER? We're going to see that sort of play out in the next few episodes. And the episode next week is an especially exciting one for April. And she's just not going to take it. that the ER is shutting down. So we'll see it happen. We'll see her go through a bunch of stuff. We'll see her go through, like, I'm gonna fight through this. We'll see her be very, very discouraged. And I don't know. We still don't know if the ER is coming back. We're still, you know.
You guys are still a little in the dark, a little bit.
They don't tell us anything.
Right. They're saying, you just show up to work and read the lines
they
give
do
you.
Do it.
That is very true, right?
Shauna cracks that whip. Yeah.
Well, they change their minds a lot, and they don't want us to get too attached to anything. So.
Right.
But that's a great question.
You brought up a good point. That has always been my favorite thing about April. She does not give up.
No.
Like when Owen was testing
the rain.
I know.
And the rig. It was like.
And she's like perky and mousy and get it done.
She's like a Labrador retriever who will not stop chasing the ball.
Right.
Even if their legs give out.
For sure.
No. I heard she was pursuing a job. Relentless.
Yes. Relentless. Yes. You are on. Yes. Carlin, do you have any more questions for Mrs. Sarah Drew?
Oh, I was wondering also if you're kind of like a method actress.
I don't know. I feel like I'm sort of a hodgepodge of lots of different styles of acting. I really like to I like to look at my scenes as just trying to see the world through somebody else's eyes. So I really like to jump into other people's shoes and kind of experience what that experience is. And a lot of times it's for the first time because I haven't experienced like that kind of fear or that kind of terror or that kind of emotional like pain and misery. You know, I've led a pretty charmed life so far, thank God. So I really just like to kind of try and peek out at the world through a different person's eyes and see how they see it. And I always sort of say that if I wasn't an actress, I would like to be a therapist. You know, like just like to. It actually allows me to develop empathy for people that I would never have any connection with in any other circumstance. So
wonderful, wonderful. Carlin, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for listening to AfterBuzz. We love you. Thanks for following
us
on Twitter as well.
Thank you for counting down.
Talk to you soon.
So what do you think you and the character April have most in common?
anything?
Yes. Yeah, why did Shonda write this character for
you?
I don't know, because I kind of, at first she was not really like me as much. I mean, there are elements that are, she's super passive aggressive at first. Although those first couple episodes were like unbelievably passive aggressive. But then I think when I came back and was going to be more established on the show, they wanted her to be a little more palatable.
You need some more meat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so how she's begun to develop is a lot more like me. I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, I waited until my wedding night.
Me too.
We talk about that earlier on our show constantly.
And I called it. I was like, wouldn't that be awesome if she waited till she was married?
I totally did.
Your father was a reverend, though.
Me still
so,
am. Right. My dad is
me
a minister.
Too.
Oh, my gosh. What? Wow. You're a PK?
You know,
stop it.
Now.
That's
you
crazy. Just so you have a love fest.
That is why our viewers, all the viewers that love me and all the viewers that have a picture of April as their profile picture on Twitter, they're always like, Julie, you're so nice. You're the only one that sticks up for April and Jackson. And when that happened on the show, I'm like, finally, someone is talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a reason people get married at 20.
But yes, this is true. I was married
at 21. Speaking of J-Pro, though, I will say that last week's episode, when he was a gentleman and told you, listen, yes, April, I'm screwing Edwards. The way you handled that, or and I was telling the ladies last week, the way you came across Sarah on camera was just so endearing, but very sexy, because since season 6, April's been, like you say, mousy and, you know, kind of...
Okay, Jason, the whole show is like, I just can't sexualize April. And then after the wedding, all of a sudden, he's like, she's
at
so
the wedding,
sensual.
not even the punching the guy at the bar.
No,
and then
it was like
Jackson,
when she was naked from here up.
Yes.
Jason's all of a sudden like, she's just grown up.
And the hairdo, I was like, damn.
That is amazing.
We have so many callers. Hello. We have tons of callers. Hello, you're on with AfterBuzz. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? I hear somebody.
Hello? Hi.
Hi, you're on with AfterBuzz TV.
Hey.
Hi. Hey. 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 How you doing?
That's really weird. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm wondering about your new movie.
Oh.
Oh, the one that I was tweeting about?
Yeah.
I have a couple things. Irons in the fire. It's a short. It's a short film called Waking Marshall Walker. It's a really cool, interesting story about the sort of in-between life and death situation. And it's a father-daughter relationship. And it's all about this dad who's just in despair and sort of wants to end his life. And while he's in the midst of being in that space, he's sort of called back into life. And we sort of see that in-between space, and it's really, really cool. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun. I got to shoot that with my acting mentor from college who played my father. So it was really fun.
Yeah. That was probably a dream come true for both of you.
Yeah, it was so fun. He's so fantastic and talented. We had this whole, like, period of time where we just improvised for, like, 20 minutes before walking into our scene. I was like,
Well, while we're on the subject, do you have any other projects you're excited about you want to tell us?
I do. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet
because
the I's aren't dotted and the T's aren't crossed.
NDA.
Yes, I actually have two films that I'm doing this summer for over the hiatus. So, I'm really excited. And one of them is a lead, and it's a studio movie. So
awesome. Well, caller, thank you so much for calling in. We love hearing from you. And keep listening. Thank you.
Can you?
Awesome.
I'm sorry, we have tons and tons of calls, so we're going to have to cut you guys a little bit short. So make sure you have your questions ready when we answer, so we can try to answer as many of them as
we
can.
We're like Dr. Drew up in here. Yes. People bawl their eyes out. He's like, thanks.
Getting back to tonight's show. So moving on to the patients. One thing about Grey's we always go to is the patients always have some kind of weird story that brings everyone together or tears them apart. Mm-hmm. Tonight, the patients were kind of intense.
They were.
That 13-year-old
girl killed it. Her acting skills was
I was saying her acting coach and agent are proud.
I'm proud.
They're proud. Like, yes,
she
done good.
You can tell she hasn't hit puberty yet. She's going to be a knockout. Yes. And with those acting skills, when I first saw her, I'm like, that looks like a young Marissa Cooper from the OC. And then she started acting, I'm like, whoa. Really, Misha Barton? We have not seen the end of this little actress yet.
The intensity in her eyes, because all she was doing was just laying in the bed. So she didn't really have a lot of gestures, but just the intensity in her eyes for me,
right,
it made it so believable. She really thought her life was over at 13.
She was lamenting in bed, talking about how she couldn't do rhythmic gymnastics. Going back to the first episode of Grey's Anatomy where she's I do rhythmic gymnastics. And Yang's like, well, what the hell is rhythmic gymnastics? I can't. But, I mean, her ailment, she had hip drama. Right. Fine.
She had double hip drama.
She was a gymnast since she was 4 years old. This was her life dream. She was working really hard.
Right.
To see kind of the torment by this 13-year-old, I thought that this actress did an amazing job.
She did, for sure.
Portraying it and making everybody that walked into that room feel about this big, like teeny tiny.
She made me scared to have teenagers.
Well, she made Therese have suicidal thoughts. So,
it was just, but can you imagine having double hip replacement when you're 13?
Right.
Like, that has to be terrible.
You already think the world's over when your bangs get trimmed.
Can you imagine, having to deal with a major injury that way, or, losing parts of your body or things like that? I mean, there's definitely a mental, thing that you have to go through, which is what we were seeing.
Right.
She didn't want to talk to anybody. She just basically wanted to lay there and rot because she truly felt like her life was over. And she made everybody feel like everybody's life was over.
I thought
that it was just horrible.
The way that it played out, with all of them trying to get her to walk, and then finally, finally we saw Arizona stand up in a way that she hasn't in a long time. I got emotional
at
that
scene. And release the stump.
Right?
Because you said it, Joy.
Don't tell everybody that.
Is she going to show the
stump?
She
also, she brought on the mommy voice.
Right.
Yes. She was like, I'm sorry. No, I said so you will get up.
Right.
That's how that's
right?
gonna go.
Right.
Well, my sister's calling in right now.
Yeah,
she's in
Crystal.
Texas, and her name is Crystal, and she's a huge fan of the show, and she's a fan of yours. But also, we had talked about the last few episodes. She unfortunately had an injury where she lost part of her foot. In the last episode, when we was talking about the phantom limb stuff, and today with because she's fairly young and with a girl not wanting to get up and stuff, I just kind of wanted her to kind of touch on that a little bit, and then she has some questions for you.
Okay,
hey,
cool.
Chris, what's up?
Hi.
So, what did you think about last week's episode and this week's episode about the injuries and all of that? I mean, how was it for you when you were trying to get back up and on your feet?
Well, I really thought it was very, very true the way that they did it, because she, she felt so bad about what had happened to her, and she didn't believe that this was, it's just like anything. You never believe something like that's going to happen to you. So when it did happen to her, it was like she became something that she never believed that she would be, because she was so, she was always good at everything, and she became this doctor, and she was very upbeat, and then this just completely changed her life. And you don't realize that something like this really does change your life. And mine wasn't as much as what happened to her. I only lost a partial part of my foot, so I sometimes walk a little funny and stuff like that, but I didn't, completely lose a limb. So I got, the better end of the stick on that one. So just everything that she went through, she was she felt really bad, and she was making everybody else feel really bad because, with me, I feel like what happened is now I'm not seen as Crystal. I'm seen as, oh my God, you're this tragedy now. And that's what she doesn't want to be seen as.
Right.
So do you think it was...
As, every time you look at her, she's seen as this tragedy that everybody has to baby.
So do you think it was very true to life the way that they portrayed that then, that she did really well with that and it was very relatable for you?
Definitely, and especially it went on with her for so. It's gone on with her for so long, and it's going to go on for the rest of her life.
Crystal. Yeah, and it's good that it wasn't wrapped up, in one episode,
right.
Because it is going to be this
long
term.
I read an interview with Jessica Capshaw, and she's like, "I'm glad that it's going at a slow pace. It wouldn't be realistic or authentic otherwise."
Crystal, right. We also talked about Phantom Limb last episode. Did you experience that as well?
I did, and I still do.
Okay.
It's been almost 5 years, and I still feel like I have them there, because like, I'm just missing three of my toes.
Right. Is it painful? Is it painful for you? I'm sorry. Is it painful for you?
It is. It's very painful. I mean, I always feel like I have I have pain in my toes, and they're not there. So instead of being able, you know, I can't like massage them to make them feel better. I just have to live through the pain.
Do you ever stab them with anything?
With a scalpel?
Yeah, you stab them.
I'll like grab my other foot. So like her whole thing where they used the mirror to show, you know, the other, like as if her other leg was there. You kind of see that. Like you just come up with ways that makes you, it's kind of like the placebo effect on pills. You make yourself believe that it's there and it works.
Wow. So we were talking about earlier, one of my sister's favorite shows ever was Daria.
Oh my God.
Quinn.
And she wants to talk to you. So what is your Daria question, Chris? Oh my
Gosh. I think that not everybody would know that Sarah was a voice of a character on Daria.
Yeah, Daria was an amazing MTV an MTV classic cartoon that was, didn't she, or Daria started on Beavis and Butthead,
yeah,
didn't she?
Yeah, she was a spinoff from Beavis and Butthead.
In the 90s.
And
how cool.
I was in high school.
Wow.
Where were you living when you were doing this voiceover?
I was living on Long Island, and I would just take the train in, and I would do like 4 or 5 episodes at once, and just record all of my lines, and then go home, and then come back like a month later, and do, I mean, it was just so weird. I mean, it may, you know, I had like a cool anecdote for my friends.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
High school, but...
That is the most awesome anecdote I've ever heard.
Chris, did you have a question?
Well, I just... Actually, my question was for Grey's Anatomy.
Go for it, girl.
But I just wonder if, like, do you get fans that come up to you and are like, you know, April is so uptight, why can't she just, like, let this go? Because I feel like April, to me, is such an influence because I feel like I'm that girl. Like, I have so many things that I believe in, and when I don't live up to them to my own standards, it's like I'm a failure, and I feel like I make everybody else around me feel like they're not, I guess, as good because I'm like, you know, why can't you be like me?
Yeah, no, it's a really tough line to walk, and I, you know, I have definitely similarity with April in that respect. You know, I've always wanted to be the good girl. I've always wanted to do everything right. And for the most part, I really have, you know, but it's never been good enough. Like, there's never like the level that you reach where you're like, yes, I have finally made it and I am good. Yeah. Right. You know, and so there's this, so I've really had to learn in therapy over the last couple of years to really let go of that and learn that I'm loved even if I'm not the perfect version of myself that I think I should be or think everybody else should be. And in the process of learning how to love myself, it's given me so much more compassion for everybody else around me who doesn't live according to the same sort of standards and rules that I've established for myself. So it's been a very healthy couple of years after a while of not
therapy
so
works.
Much. I love therapy. Oh my goodness.
So fans don't love torment it. You too much about April's decisions then.
No, I mean, for the most part, actually, people really love that she is a virgin. Well, not anymore, but that she wanted to be and that she tried really hard. And, you know, because you just don't see that very often. You know, it's something different. And it's something that there are a lot of people out there that actually try to live according to that standard.
I'm like, that is a story that a lot of people have that is never seen on television. Yeah. Right.
Never. It's seen on little, like, Christian movies that are shown to churches. It's not shown. It's not shown on network television.
Right.
It's
right.
Just not. So I love that we're giving a voice to that community. And
no, correction. Donna Martin wanted to wait on that.
That's true.
Oh my gosh. Yes,
she wanted to wait forever. Donna
20 years
and David.
Ago. 20 years ago. Donna Martin wanted
so
to wait.
So was one.
Which was, for those of you that don't know, what we're referring to is the original Beverly Hills.
Yes,
the
original
Beverly Hills.
But you are the wait till you're married 2.0.
So yes. Except that I failed.
Well, I mean, look at Jesse Williams. So, I mean,
how could you resist?
That shiny red apple, you know.
Most virgins don't have to stand up to that.
That's
so
like
whenever April did give in, how was that acting? Because you didn't experience that, how did you put yourself in there, in that place for that character?
Well, actually, it was great. We had Chandra Wilson directing that episode, actually. Yeah, I remember awesome. I remember her go, because we were like, why is it, like, April says so much, and why would she say so much, and why does Jackson do it, and they're friends, and she's like, could you just stop thinking about everything? But she actually kind of did the scene, like, she got up in Jesse's face, and she's like, every word you're saying is seducing him, because you are jumping out of your skin, and you just can't control it anymore, and he is so turned on by it. Like, she was literally doing that, like pulling at Jesse's shirt, and all of us, like everybody just got really quiet and like drawn in, and I was like, damn, you're good. Okay, that's how we're gonna do the scene. Right. All right.
You need a cigarette after this.
Yeah,
and
it was awesome.
Well, you know, a lot of actresses say that when they do love scenes or any kind of scene with intimacy, that it's very difficult because it's so technical.
It's so technical.
And everybody's watching you, so you're like, okay, I'm getting ready to kiss you, but oh, there's a grip. Okay.
Right. There's lighting. How do
there's
I look?
There's lighting. Okay, how do I look? Yeah, so is it like that?
Oh, it's so weird. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing in the world. And then you're trying to have a really intimate scene, and like half of the wall is gone, and they're just people drinking coffee and eating donuts there. Right. And you're like, I'm naked. Okay. You know, it's crazy.
One of the cool things about Grey's that we're talking about earlier, I was reviewing the show, is you always learn something new. And tonight with one of the patients, I did not know that Jehovah's Witnesses, because the patient was Jehovah's Witness and could not receive blood. I did not know that was an issue.
Either.
I was like,
either.
Who would have thunk it? Only on Grey's.
I knew that. I have family members that when growing up, they were Jehovah's Witness.
Of course, Kelly, you knew that. She's like, I'm sorry.
I know everything. No, but it was growing up as kids. Crystal, are you still on the phone? We totally forgot about you.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like, my cousins were, like, they grew up Jehovah's Witness, and it was, we always thought as kids, like, the whole not celebrating Christmas and all of that was, kind of weird in itself, but going through, you know, not being able to give blood, and just, I went to some, like, Jehovah's Witness church services, and the things that they believe in, everything is very sacred, and you can't taint anything, and they're very, very strict about it. And it's really interesting because you can get in so much trouble by not, you know, following their wishes. And all of the kids have to follow this. You have no choice.
Wow.
Like, you believe that this is what your family believes, and you grow up believing
this. I'm definitely going to read up on it.
Me too.
So what if you want to make your own, like, when you become an adult and you say,
Become an adult, I think it's a little bit easier, but you have, you know, at least for the way that I watched it, is like you have discussions and you can kind of go out on your own, but it's very separate.
Well, so, what was sad tonight was watching the show was the parents, the quotes, the lines they were throwing out were just so appalling, where gang said, you know, listen, we need to save your child's life, let us do the blood transfusion, and them saying that we'd rather his life will be worse for it if he survives getting this blood transfusion. Mm-hmm. And they said, let's hope for a miracle.
But because they really truly believe that the soul will be tainted,
right?
And so if you're thinking about eternal life versus the tiny blip that this present life is, I mean, just getting into the minds of mm-hmm. that community, if you think about that, like, eternal life is a whole lot longer, and he's going to have to live. And if they truly believe that that soul is tainted when he moves into that place, this life doesn't matter as much.
Boom.
Well, because
it's,
I think, crazy, according to them,
it's intense,
he can't move into that place, right?
Yeah.
If he's tainted. And that's the thing. Can we really say it's appalling just because we don't understand it? I mean, this is something that they truly believe, and who are we to say?
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I mean? It's because you don't really know. All you know is what you believe.
Point taken. Yang said that to Leah.
Yeah.
She
mm-hmm,
said,
right.
No, it's not our job to question their beliefs. Our jobs are to abide by their wishes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the patient ended up dying. You know,
it brought up. We finally saw a new side to Leah, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we had not seen her do
what
anything
did we
so
see,
exciting.
Joey?
We have not seen an intern go against the system so blatantly since Izzy, right?
Right.
She knew the patient couldn't receive blood. She did talk to his skateboarder friend, who said, "I don't really think he's Jehovah's Witness." She was going to sneak it in, sneak some blood in, save the kid's mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. Doctor in the Sky saw her, nixed the whole thing, but, you know, I got some respect for Leah.
I do, too, because I probably would have did the same thing.
Yeah, she was definitely going hard for that. Yeah. And what was really cool and kind of not cool was how they didn't really tell us. We didn't get a backstory to the kid. Was he
You know what? That's what
witness?
I didn't. I felt like that stone was really unturned. I wanted to know.
A little bit. Like, he came in unconscious, so we couldn't get anything out of him. But his friend, when Leah was having the conversation with him, he kind of alluded to the fact that maybe he wasn't necessarily
Right, we're saying, why didn't we find out? Was he or was he not?
Maybe it wasn't so much that he wasn't necessarily unhappy about it, but it just wasn't something that he talked about. He wasn't kind of a vocal Jehovah's Witness, so none of his friends really knew.
But the unresolved nature of it is kind of almost more true to life, because in that actual scenario, you don't have the backstory, and you don't know, and it does just feel tragic and meaningless, and that's what makes the show so dramatic.
It really is! Right. Right. We got a cold, hard death tonight.
Again, like I said, after a sugary sweet last week, I just wasn't ready.
Shonda was so young.
The writers know how to give it to us. After Buzzers, if you couldn't get your questions in tonight, go to iTunes, tell a friend, rate us. We love hearing your comments. We love hearing everything you have to say. If there's something about Grey's that we don't know, which probably is not true, but something that we don't know, let us know. Leave us comments. You can also leave comments on YouTube. All kinds of cool stuff. Rate us. 5 stars, iTunes, AfterBuzz, that's how we roll. Sarah Drew, I have a question for you.
Okay, yes.
when you are having a table read and you're reading the show or you're reading the episode, are there times when you don't agree with how they're writing your character? Are there times where you're like, what are you thinking?
Totally. I think everybody has moments like that, but they're so wonderful and open and welcoming. And I mean, in fact, like when they brought up the whole storyline of April being a Christian, I'm a Christian in my life. And so they were like, hey, I mean, Shonda came to me and was like, hey, you know more about this than we do. So you let us know if something doesn't feel right. And they have totally like taken things that I've said, and I've seen them then in the script, in the new rewrites. So
were they going to make her a Christian before they knew you were?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, who knows? Characters evolve beside, intertwining with the people that are playing them over the course of the years as a series regular on a show. So it is kind of funny, though, because it's my second series regular and my second Christian virgin that didn't start off as a Christian virgin. So right. I don't know what that tells you.
Sarah, we're super fans. We watch the show. We cry. We go through everything you guys go through. As an actress who's playing a part on the show, when you watch the show, are you feeling those same emotions too? Do you ever watch an episode and be like, remove yourself from it and just be like, wow?
Oh, I always remove myself from it, except it's harder when I'm actually on the screen at the moment, because then I'm just analyzing and criticizing myself.
Typical Libra.
Yes, thank you. But for the rest of the show, yeah, I mean, this show is the one show that my husband and I have watched religiously from day one, like together as a couple. Like, this has been our show.
Good for you.
For 9 years. The show's been over 9 years. So like, when I came onto the show, it was so exciting. And my husband gets, he does not watch dramas. He watches other stuff. And he weeps during the show. Like, he gets teary-eyed. He's like, God, this is just, this is really hard.
He's at home right now getting teary-eyed. Like, I know. Why did she tell him?
No, he's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is really intense. And, you know, Jason and I, we get really passionate when we're talking about J-April. Like, we've gotten April. Very passionate about that.
We can't have this episode tonight and not talk about it.
No, we have to, because we get...
because it is like War of the Titans up here.
You hate him.
You like him.
The rest of you hate him.
We get like reamed on comments that are like, you need to give April a break and stop it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you have very passionate fans that are just don't like our opinions about this. But it's really funny.
That's so funny.
But the problems that I had with the relationship was I couldn't understand why when Avery finally was at that place and he was, and what's really funny is because I saw an article where Shonda Rhimes was talking about this today.
Oh, really?
Talking about that relationship and what's going to happen. But we find out right before you guys break up, when you think that you're pregnant, that he's all in, he's ready to do this, and you're not. And it's just, you know, so devastating for him and just breaking him down. And every time you guys would get together, you would just always make him feel bad about it. And that's just what I could not get
behind. But here's the thing. This is the thing that I totally hear that. I totally hear that. But I also think something about it is that April never, ever apologizes for exactly who she is and exactly what her beliefs are. He knows what her beliefs are. He still finds himself in the on-call room with her. They still find themselves doing that. And he knows that this is going to happen, over that she's going to feel crappy about it over and over and over again. And in a lot of ways, maybe they're not the best mix, but they're also best friends. So there's something about that bond that is really hard to deny. And I will defend April for that episode when he said he's all in. First of all, he's never said he loves her, ever. He said, I'm in, we'll do it. Like, we'll do it. You're pregnant, we'll do it. You know, that wasn't, I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, the way that it was done was beautiful, but it wasn't an all-out sweeping declaration of I choose you to be the woman. So when she, and her response was, oh, thank God we don't have to do it. Thank God we're not in a situation where we have to. And that was her response. It was an emotional response. And of course she stuck her foot in her mouth because she says what she thinks without editing it. And that's a problem. But, you know, he didn't need to be quite so offended by her just being like, I mean, aren't you glad that we're not, like, pregnant and have to all of a sudden raise a child? Isn't that a good thing?
It's a great thing.
You know? Yeah, but the thing that I definitely admire so much about the writing of this relationship is the fact that, to me, I thought it was so turned around. Usually we always see it the other way around. When it's the girl that's always racing to the on-call room and it's the guy that's the one that's feeling crappy afterward or wanting to have nothing to do with you. And you know what I mean? So the fact that these roles were reversed, I really admired about it and I really liked it. But it just kind of, because of the character being so passionate about beliefs and all of that, it just was kind of funny to me that how is she how is he gonna say, oh, I love you, let's get married, when every time you have sex you're like, oh, I hate myself and I hate this.
Well, if they were married, she wouldn't be guilty anymore.
I think, you know, I honestly felt, Sarah, that my issue with J'April was the chemistry with J'April. I just didn't see, I would have rather you've been with Karev or even been Owen Hunt.
Owen Hunt. I think you are definitely in the minority in the chemistry department. So, like, the kind of tweets that I get about the chemistry of J'April.
I wanted J'April to get together since Avery punched out.
Correct.
We're treating April poorly.
Yes.
And so when this finally came around, I had been waiting for it for a long time. So what do you think about that relationship? This is what we talk about all the time. Is it end game for those two characters?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because we have just introduced this new guy.
Matt.
Yeah, we want to hear about him. Don't just blaze over that. Go back. Talk about that paramedic, too.
He's so delightful. Justin Bruning.
Yeah,
oh, great. And the second he came on the screen,
those
and we
teeth?
Were like,
oh, my
whoa.
God.
Teeth of all the things.
last episode, look at his teeth.
They're like on.
Now, one thing I really do love what they are writing for Matthew in April and how it's all getting very confused with Jackson.
Where was he
and Stephanie.
This episode?
He just wasn't in the episode.
Okay. He wasn't the ebb and flow. Joel's ebb and flow.
He's in it a lot the next two episodes.
Okay.
So the next two episodes.
Because
we'll see
I,
a lot.
For one, was really disappointed.
I was looking forward to it, too.
I thought we were going to see Mick Hotness paramedic.
I think that they're crafting a really interesting triangle where I think it will end up being very divided. Like, I think there will be some diehard J'April people and some diehard April Matthew people. I really think it's going to... And who knows? Who knows where the end game will be? I honestly don't know, and I don't think the producers know.
J'April and Mapril. I love it. I love it. I was going to ask you, what is a normal day for you on set of Grey's with Ellen Pompeo, Sandra Oh? I mean, all these people. What is it like? What's the energy like? Are there any, like, I don't know, funny stories that happen?
Oh,
these are things I've been. Trust me, this is like 8 years in the making.
Do you guys prank? Do they prank each other? Do you switch out things?
Do you pray together? What do you guys do?
I saw it before my eyes. Jason revert back to a little fanboy 9 years ago.
What's it like? Okay, I will say I have a very funny story. Justin Chambers is like. He is so wonderful. He's such a wonderful person. He's kind, probably the most opposite of his character. Well, also Sandra and Christina are completely opposite as well. Huh. But Justin, he's so like just sweet and a delightful and adorable, and he makes us laugh. I have a running quote board of the ridiculous things that comes out of his mouth. But he my first season on the show, probably like my third episode, he pulled the fire alarm thinking it was a prop. And the fire department came and we all had to evacuate. And he was like, he looked so sheepish, but he wouldn't fess up that he had done. But I have literally watched him. He went up to the wall, he went.
So amazing. You knew and you didn't rat him out?
No, I was a newbie.
You're like, right.
I was dying. I was laughing so hard. We all literally had to leave. It was like a fire drill in middle school.
And when that happens on set, that is hundreds to thousands of people, yes, that are like escorted out.
It's a lot
out
of people.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Sarah,
it's amazing.
Who allowed you to wear Babe the Pig and that outfit when Owen came to find you on the farm in Ohio? Who allowed that? It was so not believable. I was like, why would she look like that? What farm
That's
is she
what
on?
She does. She's a farm girl. Come on.
I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I have been on many a farm and no one looked like that.
She looked like a farm girl if they went to Let's Make a Deal. No, do all you have a bandana?
Yo, all I heard was like.
I really liked the Wizard of Oz backdrop.
Yes! Right.
That was all green screened.
Totally.
I was like, when I saw it with like a windmill, I'm like, what is happening?
It was like, hey, Sarah, it was
Are
like
we?
This. But Owen, I mean, I don't know if I want to go back
I don't
to.
Know. Jethro, I got my pig. Well, I'm gonna go slaughter him now.
I mean, I can't go back to Seattle without Ruthie here.
No, that was really awesome. Fun. I really like that pig. That pig's name was Jojo, and it was 500 pounds.
Oh awesome. My gosh! So, do you have a favorite episode or scene?
Probably my favorite. Well, I have a few, but. My favorite is probably still the trauma training. Just because
that's
it
my
was,
favorite April too.
Mm-hmm. It was so much fun to shoot, and it was so harrowing because we were soaked for like 12 solid hours in the freezing cold, and I just felt like I had won a war at the end of it. You know, like I just felt like I had been into battle and I had freaking killed it.
Nailed it.
And like, you know, it just came out the other side, and Justin and Kevin and I, just all three of us, we were like in it to like face the elements and do it. It was so much fun. That was probably my favorite. But then the episode, the proposal episode this season, I loved that episode. Yeah. I loved shooting that. I loved that whole arc, that whole journey. It was really challenging. It was so much fun. And Jesse and I felt like we just work so well together, and we both really care about the material, and so we're constantly rehearsing and talking about stuff, and he's such a great acting partner.
Yeah, it's
and nice to look at.
Even I mean, even though I love you guys. I love both your characters. I like you guys as friends. I just wasn't feeling the chemistry with the whole. The sexual chemistry was off for me. But one of the best scenes I would say for April's character is when you're taking your boards and you have this aha moment. You have this epiphany, and when you answer the questions, you're just. I was like, what is she talking about? But then,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I thought, but you know what? I've actually had those days where I'm just like rambling about, you know, I'm just gonna get in my car and just drive, and wherever I end up, I'm just gonna end up there, and yeah, it's like you mm-hmm. you let go, and you're so over it that it just doesn't matter anymore, and it's so freeing, and so just a weight was lifted off of you, mm-hmm. and that was probably one of my most favorite. That's when I loved you. I have really liked you before, but I was like, yes, April, because you know what, you knew you were gonna fail those boards. You knew it. You were sweating profusely. You were over it.
So
it was just
awkward.
Like, yeah, it was just done.
Kevin McKidd directed that episode too, and I will say he was one. I feel like I've had some of my hardest episodes when Kevin and Chandra have both directed, and they're both such phenomenal directors. I was really grateful for Kevin's direction in that that particular scene.
Awesome.
Well, we've seen the character grow so much from when we first met April, and she was a little bit annoying and following after Derek.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all of that. And we're like, get away from him. Meredith, just one hand back. Stop it. But then we've seen your character evolve so much, and I think one of my favorite episodes was when you took over the trauma room and was teaching Edwards how to run it.
Oh, yeah, that was recent.
And that was a recent thing, but I thought that it really showed the growth. It showed you coming into your own and your confidence, and this is like your ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend, and you did not...
The other
you
woman.
You were so professional about it, so on top of your your game.
She didn't know that she was the other woman.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no, because he had just told me the episode previous. Right.
Yeah, no, she totally did.
When we did that table read, I was like, oh, yes. I, like, fell in love with April even more. I was like, thank you for writing this. I love that she's, like, rising above.
Yes.
They could have played, like, the teenage drama, you know? But they don't do that on our show because they're awesome. But
and it doesn't go with what your character is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that so much. I thought you played that so well, and it was so believable, and it wasn't too over the top. You really just put that to the side, and you could tell that it's like, you know, I'm just gonna like be over it. Like, it doesn't even matter. This is what matters. The people matter. Yeah. And I just thought it was so great.
So, old school question. What was it like when you guys found out that everyone from Mercy West was dying but you? That was, crazy. Like, all of your peers died.
Reed, Percy, done.
Like in five seconds.
It was crazy. Well, Reed, poor Reed. God. Like, shot in the head. In the first
but good. I didn't like her. And she was creepy. She had that pixie cut.
Did you say but good?
I was like, Reed.
No, I liked Reed.
Sorry about it.
You know what? I liked her from Heroes.
But her eyes, she looked like she was just trying to compel you or hypnotize you. Like, I don't know. Like, just the way she talked, I was like, goodbye. Deuces, Reed. Sorry about it.
Were you surprised that she was going to last and none of the other Mercy Westers?
Jackson came on with me. So it was Jackson and I who both lasted. And then we were told in February, I think, we were told which ones of us were going to die.
Damn it.
So we knew walking into those episodes, like, which, you know... It was uncomfortable. I mean, it's all uncomfortable because especially because I came on just to do two episodes and then ended up staying
for four seasons.
Yeah.
I know. But those guys were great. They were so much fun. We had such a great time with them and they did such a great job on the show. And I mean, it's always sad when you lose a cast member.
For sure.
Yeah.
Which happened a lot last season.
Every season. Alana
Cahill. I know, that's just crazy.
Alana Cahill is the new tidal wave tsunami that has just washed ashore on Mercy West Seattle Grace. And tonight we get a further glimpse into not so much her backstory, but more about what's going to happen to the hospital, because here we are thinking, oh, she's just going to come and clean things up and make things more efficient.
Right.
Come to find out, the hospital's on the chopping block to be sold, and the ER, the reason why the ER has been closed is because it's not attractive. It's a shaggy carpet in the living room that needs to be taken out.
But it was after a brilliant move by Chief Owen. He tricked her into operating on a trauma patient the entire surgery, start to finish, the point where stopped the guy's bleeding from the neck, did the surgery, went and told the family.
So she could feel the joy.
I had a moment with her for a second. I was like, okay, I think I'm going to like her. I see a change. And then she reverted back.
She was very warm and vulnerable and not
and
so
humming.
Not so comfortable. But they all have that, like, you know how they have the dance they do, Kit Teddy, when they do something cool? They always have that quirkiness. But she was vulnerable. She was human. She was...
She was a surgeon for a second.
She was present, exactly.
She wasn't all about the business. She was about the patient.
About the medicine.
But then when you see her walking away after saying, oh, I'm sorry, guys, I thought you understood what I was talking about. That's just how it's going to go. While she walked away, you could see in her face, you could see, this freaking sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you could see that this is not something that she is enjoying, which is interesting because then we have to figure, you know, we then have to find out what her backstory is and why she's doing this.
Or why she's mad at Chief Weber, because her and Weber have a weird dialogue that's like, and we were speculating. I personally think her and Weber hooked up.
And I don't.
I think that was another Ellis, Adele triangle, maybe. He was drunk.
He is not a hoe.
He told Derek, you're drunk for a week and I've been drunk for years.
Well, this is true.
He could have been drunk. She could have liked the drunk dude.
No, I think it has something to do with the teaching. And I thought that maybe the humming had something to do with it. That maybe that was something they did when they operated together when she was learning.
The Beatles or something?
No, but you know how everybody has their way of kind of calming the room. Derek likes to listen to music, you know, and like everybody has their thing. And so maybe
that would be corny if he like banned her from the ER for humming.
No, but you know, like she seems like so intense. So maybe it was something to kind of relax her in kind of a way, and you know, and something happened with their relationship that, because he seems to think that they're still friendly,
right?
But and whatever happened, she is not gone, and the plot by Captain McDreamy did not work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She didn't even look at it. She's like, no, she's sorry, like, we're going to sell this baby. Like,
after all that. Their work and conniving and bringing that cardio god back out of nowhere.
And Derek giving up his parking spaces. Right. I will give kudos to Yang for the best one-liners tonight.
Always.
Yang,
she always has
Sandra Oh, you're epic.
She is always
this
epic.
Alana Cahill girl, like we said, though, isn't going anywhere soon. And what was really weird, too, another Grey's mystery is, okay, so now the ER is closed and it's just that quick, lights are off, it's done, you know, it's overnight. What happened to the clinic? Is the clinic still open? Is
because why can't patients move to the clinic? We talked about this last week, like, why can't patients move to the clinic?
I mean, that was $8 million.
But the clinic, clinic doesn't have like trauma rooms. The clinic is like where you go if you have the flu and you need a shot,
right?
And,
but maybe you know if they're all these doctors have like all this money now, so maybe they can upgrade the clinic and kind of move. Like, whatever happened to the clinic? Nobody works there anymore. Nobody's running it.
I don't know.
We just gotta forget about that.
That's so season 7. It's so season 7.
Well, I've got a couple more tweets. I've got something from Kelsey in Canada that's asking if you prefer to film more fun or emotional scenes, like what is more challenging for you?
I love doing both because I feel like the comedy stuff is just a blast to do and it's really fun. But the emotional stuff is super cathartic and I love going to like the depths of despair and just getting all that awesome emotion out, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, I love that I get to have a mix of that on the show. I mean, everybody gets to have a mix on that. That's what's so great about the show, because you laugh and cry in every episode, you know? So it's, I love both. I don't think I could choose.
Sarah, I'm so glad. I know Kelly, I have no question, but I'm so glad they gave you a good red hair color and not that Addison fire engine red.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're I know I'm all about aesthetic. I really watch how you guys have evolved as far as how you look on camera, and I have to say Kepner is getting more and more breathtaking every season. From when you first came on with down the side.
Oh yeah, boring.
To now, I mean, it's just like, yes, Kepner. Do they? Who?
And did you guys get a new stylist?
Yeah,
Well, they made me a redhead my second season, because season 6 I was still brunette.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I gradually shifted into the red world.
And which is
season 7.
Which is more on par?
Which is more on par with my natural hair? Yeah. Well, my son has exactly this color hair. So,
he's ginger.
He is an absolute ginger.
Aww.
My dad was bright red hair, and my husband's grandmother was.
So it fits well.
It fits well. It definitely fits well. I love it. I don't think I'm ever. I might never go back. I love it.
Well, I mean, you get your hair done for free.
Well, yes. So at least until the show ends.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I have this amazing hair guy, Jason Green, who does the most incredible blow dries and the most incredible styles.
Yes.
He's been doing good.
We just, we thank him. I get tweets every episode. What is happening with your hair? it's so great. I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah, it definitely takes up some time here on our show. So bouncy today.
It's like, she's got that Germac bounce back. Beautiful hair.
I keep having people tell me, you need to call Pantene.
I know.
You need
to. You're totally worth it, L'Oreal. You're totally worth it.
Well, Lions fan wants to know if you see yourself directing any episodes of Grey's.
No.
Oh!
No. It's such an intense job, and I don't think that my heart could take it. Mm. It's just like, I feel really good about being in charge of where my journey is going and just taking care of that.
Right.
But having to not only think about everybody's arc acting-wise, but also be thinking about all of the different camera movements and also trying to make your day and not go overtime. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it is so unbelievably stressful that I don't see myself. No, I do not see
myself. That is a good question, though.
What's a turnaround? Will you guys film? How long does it take to edit Grey's and music and everything?
It takes 9 to 10 days to shoot an episode.
Wow.
One episode.
Wow.
So we do generally 2 double days every you know, so we basically shoot 8 days on one episode, and then the last 2 days of that episode are also the first 2 days of the next episode with two different crews. Whoa. So we're just like shooting on different stages with different actors and different crews for two whole days. Mm-hmm. So it's really a long, long process. And then it takes, you know, a good solid, I don't even know, I want to say like 2 weeks or at least a week in post-production to finish it up. Right.
So where do you see the character of April going? And I mean, I know you know, so you don't have to reveal.
I don't really know.
Well, where do you see? Where do you hope?
You know, I want to see her really thrive, both as a teacher and as a surgeon, and I want her to find her person, you know? I want her to find the right person for her, whether it's Jackson or Matthew or some other random person that might show up next season.
Seriously, you know? Out of those two options, she can't pick one?
Right. You know,
why?
You know,
when you
really
can have both of them.
Gorgeous or more gorgeous?
I want her to, I also just really want her to let herself off the hook. Like, I want her to stop beating herself up.
That would be nice. Like, she just wants the confidence.
Yeah,
in
just
it,
to
in
be like, this is who I am. Yeah. I'm okay with this, and I don't have to feel guilty all the time.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, next season, season 10 of Grey's, you know, all over the negotiations last year, people saying, you know, is this the end of Grey's, which I hope it's not. How do you think season 10 will be the finale? Is that?
I hope not.
Yeah.
Because I want my child to go to college. no, I would love for the show to keep going for, I would love a few more seasons on the show. Justin Chambers, it's just always a joke because every single season he says, I just need two more. I just need two more years. Every single season he says it. It's hilarious. Season 6, he was like, just two more years. Just two more.
Yeah. I sure hope, I think there's so many more stories to be told with all the characters. We're not done yet.
They are having to get really creative with some of the medical problems.
Yeah. Right. Yes, well, I know. Yeah.
And we had somebody ask, are you going to be doing any more scenes with Debbie Allen?
She does come back.
Oh, nice.
She does come back. I'm trying to think of if I actually had scenes with her. Because I saw her at the table read, but I don't really remember. But she definitely comes back. She plays a really important role.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Sarah Ju, it's been such an amazing honor and pleasure having you here today.
Thank you.
So you're so fun.
Yeah,
I love you.
You're delightful.
And you have dimples. You're great. You're great.
You guys are so much fun.
This is not fair.
Stop it. Stop the applause in my ears.
Where can our fans find you online? Twitter, Facebook?
Yes, at Sarah Drew Grays, and Facebook, I have a Facebook fan page, just Sarah Drew.
Gotcha.
And that's all right now. Okay. I'm going to create a website.
Yeah, I know.
I had one, and then it fell apart.
They're hard to facilitate.
Don't
and
feel
keep
pressure.
It.
Yeah. You
don't. You're good with the Twitter.
Nobody's raking you over the coals.
Yeah.
We're
not going to not watch because we don't have a website.
Anita from Ecuador was tweeting. There's actually a fan book, a Facebook fan page for you that they did, and they want, you know, asking you to kind of take a look at it and see if you like it.
Ecuador.
Yeah, in Ecuador. Yeah.
I'm amazed by how many countries our show is in. I mean, I get tweets in every different language you could possibly imagine.
It's fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Good stuff. Sarah Drew, beauty queen.
Well, you'll definitely have to come back.
Please
and,
do.
You know, chat and hang out
Please
with us
do.
Again.
Love to.
Yeah.
You
know, kind of good you. Stuff. Good stuff. Let's All move right, on thanks, to guys. Predictions.
Yes.
Ooh. Wow.
Why the lights don't flicker anymore? Oh, there we go. Okay.
Wow. Nice.
Ashita, predictions.
Yes. Well, my prediction, actually, Dr. Kepner, is that she gets her confidence. Mm. I think that this is where she's going to shine and get her confidence, and she's going to play both men.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can roll with that.
She's going to pull a little battle.
I hate that idea. Yes. I don't hate it.
Ashita from left field starting a drama.
I know.
We can't turn April from, you know, this I don't want to have sex till I'm married to a player. No.
I mean, that's how it normally happens, though.
Right. She already got it.
Catholic
schoolgirl.
Yeah.
Catholic schoolgirl.
You know, and then the stripper.
Oh my gosh.
It's the evolution.
Oh my gosh.
I said last week my dream plot line is that the new hottie paramedic is also a virgin. That's what I would love. Mm-hmm. Or at least we would just.
She's like, okay, Julie.
Interesting.
We might not work.
And we
just keep watching.
Oh. I'm the best on predictions, I think. I think I've gotten the most.
I want to see that happen.
I'm not saying anything. Okay. I did not confirm or deny.
We did see definitely happening next week. A little boy, I believe it was, goes up to the closed ER. Kepner flies off, opens it up, starts operating.
Superman style.
I know, right? That's going to be a bomb episode.
We're looking forward to
bomb.
We're rogue doctors up in here.
My favorite episodes are when the doctors go rogue.
I know. I love
we're saving lives, whether you say so or not.
And somehow they never get sued.
Right.
But Weber will always throw up a suit.
We would take a lawsuit over a crazy husband coming in and shooting up the place.
Yeah. For sure.
Kelly, predictions.
Well, I would like to say, well, it's not really pretty, but I think it would be funny playing off of yours if, you know, the paramedic is a virgin and she turns out to be the one that corrupts him.
She's tasted the wine.
Now she's tasted the wine.
So,
is she Eve in the garden?
She
took the bite of the apple.
You know, they seem really cute. He's like super cute and quirky and very, you know, they look like a really nice, fun little fit. And I think it's going to get a little hot and heavy.
Right. I mean,
okay. Maybe her boundaries won't be the same.
Kepner, you're like a whole bucket of apples now. You're just like handing them out. Bite this apple.
It is so good.
Bite that. This apple is delicious.
And one thing we didn't get to talk about, which I really loved, was that the previews from last week lead us to believe that Meredith was going to have some problems with her pregnancy. Which you said. She was, and I did not want it to happen.
Well, they're so mean. I lost sleep over it this week. Meredith, not more problems.
I'm so happy that the flutter was baby kicking.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we can't.
That scene was so sweet.
Whoever's so editing those previews, they're liars.
They're mean to me.
Yeah, but they got you to watch.
They did their job. Yeah,
they didn't have to do that, though.
Right. The scene with Bailey and Meredith in that moment, I thought was so touching and so nice, because Meredith has never, when the times that she had been pregnant, she never got that far. So she didn't even know what it was. And she doesn't have her mother. She doesn't have anybody to kind of show her those things. So for Bailey to be the one to do that, that was just so cute.
And then in the end, when we finally got to see Derek,
the happy
feel. The baby kick too.
Happy.
Oh, that's great. Something about those two as parents, I really, really connect with. Both with
Where
Zola.
Where is Zola?
And
she's sleeping.
Okay. Zola's
and then in daycare during the rest of the episode.
Sarah's like, don't ask about Zola. Don't ask about the clinic.
The kid.
Out of sight, out of mind. Too many questions.
You know what? This week, honestly, the only prediction I have is about the hospital. And we're talking about this and when we're watching The Viewing Bay. But I think that the $15 million clue... clan. I feel like they're gonna donate their money.
That's what I predict too. Maybe not even donate their money, but maybe buy it.
But do you think you can purchase a hospital for $115 million?
Yeah,
is that how much they have?
No, I don't know. I can't do math.
15, what is it? They each got 15,
15 million times.
What? 75? What is it? 75
million, yeah. Right. Math was never my strong suit, Sarah.
I'm just not going to say anything.
They're going to get a loan.
Not going to say anything.
Yeah,
because there's five of them, right?
A payday advance.
Yes.
I talked about that too before. Like either they're going to forfeit some of their money to ensure that doesn't happen with the hospital, or I would like to see them buy it and they can run it however they want.
But they have a buyer already.
Right. Well, no, they're going to outbid the buyer.
They're going to outbid the buyer. Okay.
Sort of like Patrick Dempsey did to Starbucks.
You know what's going to happen? Yes. They're going to outbid the buyer and Lana Cahill's going to melt.
Here's my other prediction. I think Constance Zimmer may be sticking around as a surgeon.
I think there might be a little something with her and the chief.
I feel like she replaces the role well.
Teddy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, EW said that she was only on for 4 episodes, though.
Well, she was only on for 2.
Perfect example.
I know, right? 2 episodes, 4 years.
I mean, they
you never know. They do that a lot.
They redo the script that quick to keep somebody on longer?
Yeah, they have like their general gist of where stories are going, but they shift things around all the time, you know, and they, you know, when something is working and when they see something that's working,
keep
they're
it
like,
moving.
Let's go with that. Yeah.
Right. Awesome.
Well, we need to get going, but do you have anything that you want to say to the fans?
No, just thank you for guys for being so awesome. You thank are you. Like the most incredible. Well, you guys are the most incredible fans ever. You guys are super fans.
That's right.
Which is super awesome. And it's been so much fun to hang out with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you.
And thank you for everyone for tweeting us. I'm sorry if we didn't get to all of your questions, but, you know, Carly, Anita, and Lions fan, and Kate and Kelsey,
yeah,
and
you guys,
everybody.
You guys really helped us promo this, and we appreciate
yes,
it.
And Watchtower yeah. Base for running the chat roll. Thank you so much yes. for sending me all the questions. You're awesome. A trooper tonight, thanks.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's all for this week's episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Until next Thursday, cannot wait. I am Jason Carr. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever.
I'm Julie Parton. You can find me on Twitter at JULIEPARTIN.
And you can find me on Twitter at Kelly with an IE079.
And you can find me on Twitter at Ashita Onray.
See you guys later. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Blood you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.